Today, inflation sticks to the script, probably. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, this post covering finance and property news, we got the next tranche of monthly inflation data from the ABS today, and it showed that the consumer price index indicator edged down to 2.4%, which is below economists' estimates of 2.5%. The headline figure has been inside the RBA's 2 to 3% band now for 7 straight months. One important point of distinction with the monthly indicator is that while it will include prices for all the items in the CPI basket, not all these prices will be updated each month. So there are large helpings of fudge in the numbers, which is why the RBA tends to value the quarterly data more. That said, even the trimmed measure, which smooths out volatile items such as food and energy, and is the focus of the RBA's attention, did play ball, deaccelerating to 2.7% in February from 2.8% in the prior month. The monthly inflation figures, though, are volatile and are unlikely to affect the outlook for interest rates. The outcome was the equal lowest rate of underlying inflation since December 2021, and it was consistent with the Reserve Bank of Australia's view that inflationary pressures are cooling and have cooled considerably over the past year. The slowdown was driven by a cooling in housing inflation, which includes rents and power prices, and also a decline in fuel costs, the ABS said. Actually, rent inflation slowed to 5.5% in February, which was the lowest pace of price growth since March 2023, but it's still well above pre-pandemic levels. And the ABS said an increase in the rental vacancy rate was the cause of the slowdown. And it's worth noting that the RBA recently pointed to the increase in the average number of people living in a given home as one of the key drivers of the recent slowdown in rent inflation, as high property prices have forced younger people to live at home for longer and to lead others to rent out their spare rooms. Meanwhile, inflation and the cost of building a new home fell to just 1.6% in February, and remember that in July 2022, the rate of annual inflation peaked at a staggering 21.7%. In the latest data, it's fallen to an annualised rate of just 1.6%, with prices down 0.1% in February. The outcome was the weakest annual price rise since May 2021, and well below the 22% peak in the middle of 2022, when supply chain disruptions and the home builder program caused the price of renovations and materials to increase rapidly. The likes of Mirvac and Lendlease suggested last month that pricing for building trades and materials was coming down as capacity freed up, and the inflation data would appear to support that view. The ABS said that the weakest annual rise since May 21 was due to, quote, project home builders offering incentives and promotional offers to entice businesses. So this confirms what we heard during the February reporting season from the likes of Stockland, which called out discounts that they're offering to get house and land sales moving in Victoria. But remember that these promotional offers from volume builders may eventually be withdrawn. So what's ahead? Well, of course, we'll get the more complete quarterly data in a month's time, which the RBA is more likely to consider in their rate decision making. But while headline inflation fell to 2.4% last month, it is expected to increase this year as state government energy bill subsidies expire, even though the federal government has extended the support for power bills another 6 months. And as a result, by the way, of this use of taxpayer funds, the ABS recently revised down their weighting given to power bills in their inflation calculation, which just shows you what $9 billion of taxpayer money can do. Actually speaking, following the release of the figures and handing out his fourth budget, Treasurer Jim Chalmers took credit, saying the government's fiscal policy helped break the back of inflation when it was at its peak. That said, he had earlier warned that consumer prices could rise after Cyclone Alfred destroyed crops and homes and caused widespread flooding and property damages and cut power to almost 500,000 residents. as he laid bare the economic costs of that disaster. About 12 million work hours were lost when businesses temporarily closed, and more than 44,000 insurance claims have already been lodged. Initial government estimates indicate the cyclone delivered an immediate hit to gross domestic product of around 1.2 billion Aussie dollars, potentially wiping 0.25 percentage point from quarterly economic growth. We're still getting a handle on the economic fallout, but it will be substantial, Chalmers had said. It could also lead to upward pressure on inflation, from building costs to damaged crops, raising prices for staples like fruit and vegetables. The prospect of quickening inflation, of course, is a blow to both consumers and the government, which is keen for a cost of living crisis to ease ahead of an election which must be run by May the 17th. The RBA cut the interest rate in February for the first time in 4 years as inflation slowed, but it has said it's going to be cautious about future decisions, which is probably right, given also the rising geopolitical risks and trade barriers, which may present another layer of risk as to how they will feed into prices. Financial market traders don't expect the RBA Governor Michelle Bullock to lower the cash rate from 4.1% to 3.85% until the July board meeting, which is well after the federal election. Whilst inflation has eased considerably since its post-pandemic peak, Bullock has cited the continuing strength of the job markets as the chief reason why she is in no rush to cut the cash rate again, although last month's data was a little bit weird. Last month, she said, the jobs market was tight and on some measures getting tighter. While this is good news for job seekers, the board remains alert to the possibility that it is signalling a bit more strength in the economy, which could delay or stall the disinflation process, the RBA governor had said. All of this means it's unlikely we're going to see an April Fool's Day surprise next Tuesday. The money market now puts the odds of a cut in May at around 75%, which is up from 70% on Wednesday morning. Traders continue to expect two more cuts this year, suggesting the RBA's easing cycle will be shallow at best. That's likely to blunt the stimulatory impact of rate cuts for the broader economy after we had 13 increases, so I'm not sure that there's going to be a huge amount of enthusiasm for just two or maybe three cuts. But then, of course, for the property sector, where affordability remains at crisis levels, every little bit helps. And so those close to the market, such as the outgoing REA Group boss Owen Wilson, saw sentiment improve even before the RBA cuts in February. So it's logical that growing confidence around further rate cuts could translate to further activity in coming months. Actually, looking at the ABS in detail, the monthly data shows that the CPI rose 2.4% in the 12 months of February. The largest contributors to the annual movement were food and non-alcoholic beverages, up 3.1%, alcohol and tobacco up 6.7%, and housing up 1.8%. But insurance and financial services was up 4.5%, and insurance prices in that rose 7.6% in the 12 months of February. In fact, insurance prices has continued to soften from its peak of 16.5%, which occurred 12 months ago. Increases in motor vehicle insurance in particular have slowed, reflecting an easing in costs for spare parts and labour for motor vehicle repairs, as well as lower second-hand vehicle prices. Elsewhere, education prices rose 5.6% in the 12 months of February, reflecting fee increases at the start of the school year. Secondary education rose 6.3% in the 12 months of February, while preschool and primary education rose 7.6% in February. The rises were driven by higher operating costs that were passed through as higher school fees. And tertiary education rose 3.8% to February, following the indexation of university course fees. Automotive fuel prices fell 5.5% in the 12 months of February, following 1.9% fall in the 12 months to January. In the month of February, automotive fuel prices rose, though 1.2%. The significant falls in the annual movement was driven by base effects, with a 5.1% price rise in the month of February 2024, no longer contributing to the annual movement in February 2025. And annual inflation for food and non-alcoholic beverages was 3.1% in February, compared to 3.1% in January, reflecting a softening in annual inflation across a number of grocery items. But Fruit and vegetables were up 5.2%. Holiday travel and accommodation prices rose 1% in the 12 months of February, following a 0.8% fall in the 12 months to January. And in the month of February, holiday travel and accommodation prices fell 7.6%, following a 5.9% decline in the month of January. The fall was mainly due to lower demand following the peak holiday season in December. And just coming back to the annual housing inflation, which was 1.8% in February, falling from 2.1% in January, the drop in annual housing inflation in February was driven by a fall in electricity prices due to the timing of payments of the Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund rebates to households in Victoria. Electricity rebates lower the price of electricity for households in Victoria. Payments of the third instalment of the Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund rebate began from the 13th of January 2025. As a result, some Victorian households did not receive a rebate payment in January and will receive two rebates in the next bill in April. All households billed in February received the third instalment of the Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund rebate. Overall, national average electricity prices fell 2.5% in the month of February, and electricity prices have fallen 13.2% in the 12 months to February compared to an 11.5% fall in January. If you were to exclude all the Commonwealth and state government rebates, electricity prices would have fallen just 1.2% in the 12 months to February. And rents rose 5.5% in the 12 months to February, following a 5.8% rise in the 12 months to January. That's the lowest annual growth in rental prices since March 2023, consistent with rising vacancy rates across most capital cities. New dwelling prices slowed to 1.6% in the 12 months to February, following a 2% rise in the 12 months to January. That was the lowest annual rise in new dwelling prices since May 2021, as project home builders offer discounts and promotional offers to entice businesses. So all up, the monthly CPI indicator, excluding volatile items and holiday travel, rose 2.7% in the 12 months of February, following a 2.9% rise in the 12 months of January. That excludes automotive fuel, fruit and vegetables and holiday travel and accommodation. The annual trimmed mean, the alternative measure of underlying inflation that reduces the impact of irregular or temporary price changes, and exclude, of course, the annual fall in electricity, alongside other price rises and falls, was 2.7% in February, down from 2.8% in January. So all up, we can conclude that inflation is hanging about roughly where the RBA thought it would, but there are significant risks to the upside ahead, and so the job is not yet done, which is why I don't think we're going to see a rate cut next month. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.